Hey guys, this is Kelvin Gastelum. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
And this is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Tour de Pizza 2, 8824 4th Street North. And it's always sponsored by 8 Man Strong and the Staff Zone.
We're just about ready. Just about ready for the NFL season.
Excited. Do you get butterflies?
No. Not about that.
Fired up for camps? No. And, you like being in the know? Do you like the... What are you really... What are they really... seeing at this point? Like what is Bruce Arians seeing from his team? Like
nothing. It's too early
because the throws don't mean anything. It's just they're going through motions, right?
No, they're not necessarily going through notions. You know, there's been some serious hitting. The defense has looked pretty good.
Okay,
Jameis Winston, in my opinion, has not looked very good. The defense looks good, but on the same line, how can one side look good? The other side has to look bad,
right?
You know, so if the defense is making a lot of great plays, a lot of great stops, then that obviously means the offense is not. Now, what they're doing is the defense is throwing things at this offense that they've never seen before.
Okay.
Which I like. Bruce Arians has said that by doing that, it's that repetition thing. You know, it's like when you're watching film. It's be aware and be ready for almost anything.
Sure.
You know, I know that's, I was telling the story the other day that my dad was so far ahead of his time coaching baseball because people had never seen the things that he did.
Okay.
When he and I and, you know, my knucklehead older brother.
Did he steal first base?
No. But do you know that I once had a guy steal second?
Just took it home with him? Just took it?
No, I had a guy steal from first to second.
Okay.
There was somebody standing on second. I had bases loaded once. And I gave the steal sign to the guy on first base.
Huh.
Nobody had ever seen that.
Huh.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, what do you do?
So while they were like shaking their head, like, what's going on?
Everybody
the guy
home.
From third ran home.
That's a great play.
Right? My dad, and then I ended up doing it, and I ended up doing it for my softball team that we went on and won the league and all that stuff. You know, we would strike out on purpose in the fifth inning. If we happened to be losing, that we went like 2 years without a loss.
Okay.
But if we were losing, we would purposely... If two outs, whatever, step on the plate, do whatever. So we're out. So you go into the next inning because there's a time limit. So as long as the inning starts before whatever, you know, and I bet you we probably did it three or four times and came back and won in the next inning.
Okay.
Nobody never even heard of that. Nobody had seen that. We had our Little League guys do that. Get into the next inning. Is that a rule or an unwritten rule? Which would that be?
It would probably be a written rule.
Well, no, it's illegal. He struck out. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I don't know much about baseball.
What do you know anything about?
Oh, I know mixed martial arts.
Do you really?
I know pizza.
My son's daughter, is that what we're going to call her right now?
Okay.
Is testing for her white belt today.
Really?
I didn't know you tested for it. I thought white belt was automatic.
Well, I got to have something to hold your gi together, so.
Right.
I got to give you something.
And then stripes. But pretty soon, both those kids, one's five, one's seven, eight.
I used twine.
Is going to have more stripes than I have.
My belt's made out of twine.
Your belt was got a Kmart, just like Ralph Macchio.
It's left over from the Christmas tree I strapped to the roof of my car. It's
nothing wrong with that.
It's seasoned and it smells like pine.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Thoughts on the Rich Paul rule?
The what rule?
The Rich Paul rule.
What is that?
The NBA is passing that in order to, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't pay attention to a whole lot. This isn't for you to be an agent of an NBA player. I believe this is for you to be involved with a college or high school that, you know, wants to go straight into the NBA.
So it's because there's a lot of recruiting violations that occur in the NCAA and high school, right? Where they
and the degree is going to make a difference,
right?
You know, because you now have a degree, now you're not going to do these things.
He goes, Zion, here's $75 million for a shoe deal, but you can't talk to that guy. We're going to take away your, you know, your ability to be an accountant.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, just doesn't make sense. Pay the athletes. Pay those college players.
You can't though.
Pay them.
But you can't.
Give them the money.
So are you going to give every college athlete money?
All the good ones.
Oh, so now you're going to be a judge, a jury, and executioner.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem.
Because they make the money on the sales, the jerseys.
Of course.
Actually, speaking of jerseys, I have a question.
I gave my Pittman jersey away.
I saw that. Yep. What did you gave away a Super Bowl Pittman jersey?
I did.
What's wrong with you?
I did.
What is wrong with you?
There's two things wrong with me.
Okay.
I got too fat. I can't wear it.
I could have wore it.
And a grown adult shouldn't wear a jersey.
You're just upset half of our fan base.
Half, probably all.
Yeah. These guys are sitting around listening to the show in their jersey right now.
I can't wear it. You know, I couldn't wear the jersey.
You could have framed it.
Well, I have a real jersey that was worn in the studio.
I don't know Michael like you do.
No, hold on. You don't know Michael at all.
No, I've met him once.
When did you meet him?
At a softball game, I think.
Really?
I think he came or you guys were, it was in Tampa. Alex was there. I don't know. That was a long time
ago.
Yeah,
again, you don't know him at all, but that's okay.
But what I do like about him is that he put a thing on Facebook the other day about how you're supposed to raise your children to be better than you at everything. And his approach to raising his sons that are now at Oregon and getting ready to dominate college football. That was pretty cool. That was pretty impressive.
I don't like his children.
Because they're great?
No, because his children is the reason why Mike left Tampa Bay.
That's true.
Or he'd still be on our softball team. I'm sorry. He'd still be on my softball team.
That's true.
You know, so I lost my
your anchor.
Our team was good without him.
Okay.
Our team was good without him.
Right.
Our team was good with him.
This is the same guy that wore a Pittman jersey, so people wouldn't think that it was him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get harassed by fans.
He once said, "Don't let anybody know I'm coming out to play," and he wore his Senior Bowl jersey. I love the guy. You know what I just recently found out about Michael Pittman?
I didn't know.
What him and Doreen used to do to me. Doreen was our limo contact.
Oh, yeah, I met her too.
She would always drive the limo and whatever.
She's a nice lady.
So I know this. I mean, I'm not naive. People come to the show, the Monday Night Show, the Players Show, all those shows that we do, to see the athletes. They don't come to see me.
Of course.
So I'm waiting to start the Michael Pittman show, and I would text. I'm like, you know, how far out are you? Where are you at? And these knuckleheads, I just recently found this out, these knuckleheads would text me, "We're caught in traffic. We're still on the bridge. We'll get there as soon as we can." Yet they were parked behind the building. And they would just make me sweat. I'm like, whatever. You know, get here when you get here. Drive safe. Be careful. And they're just sitting by the building waiting. And Mike just said that he would sit back there and laugh.
That's awesome.
He thought it was the best thing ever. Ever. What fight are you looking forward to other than you fighting Bagel Boy?
I'm not fighting the bagel guy.
I think it's Bagel Boss.
I got to say, the Pettis-Diaz fight.
Really?
Anaheim. Yeah. It's going to be fireworks, man. I mean, that whole division is stacked.
It'll be a good fight. I don't know if I'm excited about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. All right.
I mean, after Pettis did what he did to Stephen Thompson in Nashville, like the dynamic finish, like, I mean, this is an exciting fight.
I'm not saying that it won't be exciting. I just don't know if, you know, I'm going to sit by my TV set or buy the plane ticket.
About Cormier, like the Miocic?
Miocic.
I mean, excited about that fight? I mean, that's going to be a snooze fest.
No, it won't be a snooze fest.
It will.
It won't be a snooze fest. Again, I'm not going to say that I'm excited and I can't wait. I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to blah, 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 blah. But Daniel Cormier is one of those fighters that's doing what he's supposed to do almost the right way.
Okay.
You know, almost saying the right things. People will watch in hopes that he loses.
Sure.
He has more fans that hate him than fans that like him, I believe. And so, yes, I would watch that. You know, I like Stipe. You know, he's handled this. He's a class guy. Rooting for him. Not that it matters to me one way or another. I don't think I want to see Cormier fight John Jones in any weight class.
Yeah, or ever again.
Yeah.
Right.
He's proven that he can't beat him.
Right, in anything.
And I believe if they fought at heavyweight, John Jones would win.
Of course. I mean, and I kind of skipped ahead. I mean, that's UFC 241.
That's next week, right? Mike Perry fights this weekend.
Yeah, Perry. But he's got a monster on his hands in Luque. Like, Luque is no joke, man. Like, he is a legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu master. I mean, this guy's a monster. And I think he's on like a 6-game win streak. So, but yeah, Uruguay, let's get a ticket.
Yep, get the ticket. All right, so it's 3:15 Eastern Standard Time.
That means?
No, did I say that? I didn't mean to say that. It's a quarter after.
It's a quarter after.
Just because when these are replayed on all the other networks.
With our bare knuckle correspondent.
Well, he's not our correspondent.
Our weekly segment. What do you call it?
This is the BKFC official segment with today's guest, who I will see on Friday in Biloxi, Chris Lytle. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. And what are we going to, Uruguay now? Is that what I hear? Uruguay? What's going on?
Yeah, that's where Matt thinks he's going, yet he doesn't have money or a passport. So how he's going to get there is beside me. I finally read a press release that I guess I got months ago, and then I got one yesterday that I never looked at until about, I don't know, an hour before the show. And we'll talk about that in this event that you're involved in next week. But first, let's talk about Bare Knuckle FC this weekend in Biloxi. And I was talking to Dave Feldman, and Dave was talking to me about, and he said, this is one of the things your involvement with the organization is trying to find the next superstars, trying to find, you know, the guys or women that people want to watch. And how difficult is it of walking that fine line of using name guys, finding people that nobody knows about, become the next name person?
Obviously, that's a very difficult task to undergo right there because, I mean, just think, how many people have there been like that in the UFC? The UFC's been around for many, many years. You know, boxing's been around for many, many years. And a guy comes and goes in boxing, you know, once every now and again. But, I mean, it's just not a very common thing. You know, like, you know, the Mike Tysons and there's certain people out there. But it's just hard to find somebody that people can, you know, identify with and get behind and either cheer for them to win or cheer for them to lose. It doesn't really matter which way. You either love them or love to hate them. You know, they've learned that from the pro wrestling. But, I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. I mean, you know, for all the Conor McGregors out there, you got 1,000 people who are trying to do that, and it's just not necessarily working. So, you know, we're trying to go about it. Dave's putting on different tryouts, and we're looking for people who have not only the skill set, which is a big part of it, but also the mindset and the ability to go out there and capture the imagination of the people and want to get them to, you know, be vested and want to watch these people fight.
You know, what I think is also a problem, if not even a bigger problem, is you can go and find the next whoever, the next Chris Lytle, the next Conor McGregor. He's going to fight third on the card. Nobody's there yet. How do we get people to show up for the first fight and watch the entire card? I still don't understand how people will buy a ticket and they don't watch all the fights.
It boggles my mind. I mean, I do love it when I've been to certain places. You go to Australia, you know, I've been there for a couple fights where I fought, and from the beginning to the end, the place is packed. It's beautiful, and they're fired up, and they're cheering, and they're happy. You go to Las Vegas, nobody shows up till the last three fights. I don't understand. You know, you pay a lot of money for a ticket, and some of the best fights of the night are in the prelims. It doesn't make any sense. I guess it's just more, you know, sometimes like a, not a fashion show, but it's like the who's who of who's there. And they just, all they care about is going and making the appearance. I guess it's not about the fights. I mean, the true fight fans care about the fights, but a lot of times, I guarantee you one thing, if I buy a ticket, I want to go to watch every fight because, like I'm telling you, sometimes the fight of the night, the knockout of the night or something, it's one of the first two or three fights.
Well, and as we both know, and I've talked about this numerous times on the phone that we're talking to Chris Lights Out Lytle, the fact that, you know, the first fight of the night or the third fight of the night, these are young, typically, young fighters trying to move up, trying to get into the main card, trying to get into the co-main or the main event. I don't want to say they're hungrier because everybody's there to win, but they're laying it out all on the line. And to miss those types of fights, I'll bet you that there have been more bonuses in every organization on undercards than, you know, the main event.
Well, it's like I've brought this so many times, and when you talk about, think of the last time you saw like a title elimination fight or whoever wins this is going to fight for the title next. How often are those entertaining fights? Usually, in my opinion, they're terrible fights. I mean, those guys are, like you said, they're afraid to lose. They're not going out there and lay it on the line. They're going out there and trying to manage a fight. I'm going to take this guy down once if there's 3 minutes left in the round, or I'm going to out-jab him. It's something like that. And those fights are not really that entertaining. If you watch those fights, you're going to go, these are the two, you know, biggest up-and-comers in this division. I'm not impressed. And that's a problem. It's like you said, you have to have people who will go out there and are just hungry to fight. You know, sometimes people lose that I just want to go out there and fight. And that's what I really like right now about, you know, BKFC is you still have people out there who realize this is first and foremost a fistfight. You know, it's two guys who want to go out there and punch each other in the face as hard as they can. You don't have a lot of people who are thinking, oh, I got to try and win this so I can move up in the rankings and try and, you know, advance my career. I mean, that's not really a thought process yet. I'm glad it's not. I hope it never gets to that point. Kind of like MMA and boxing have become.
What are you guys looking for when you have these open cast calls, if cast calls is the right, tryouts? You know, I know you had one here in Tampa. I know you had one outside of Philadelphia. I mean, I'm sure it's everything, but how can you tell when you're watching somebody hit a bag, you know, if they're going to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk and do all those things that the organization needs?
Well, it's not just watching them hit a bag. I mean, because you got a guy who can hit the bag, you know, like a champ. You got a guy who can hit the mitts like a champ. But you have to look at the whole package, and you have to talk to them. You have to find out why they're doing this, you know, what their mindset is as far as, you know, how they want to train, how they want to live their life. It's kind of a full package that you're looking for, because you can get guys who can do one or two things really, really well. But this, you know, these sports aren't about one or two things. It's about a whole lifestyle. It's about who you are as a person. And that's what you're really looking into. It's hard to get by one aspect. That's why we just don't have them come in there and hit the meter that says, oh, this guy hits 1,300 square, you know, pounds per square inch. I mean, that's great, but I mean, what if you know, they take many days off in between, and they're not there day in, day out. They just don't have the mentality of that I'm going to be a killer. I mean, you have to have several different things, and that's why it's such a rare, you know, commodity when you finally find a person who has, you know, all the facets of what we're looking for. And that's the most difficult part, is to keep looking for it and find somebody who not that, but, you know, has the ability to do it, but is in a situation where they want to do it.
I've known you a long time. I don't recall you ever trash-talking at all, saying negative things. It's the big topic because of what happened Saturday night. A, where do you stand? And B, is there a line? If you're talking trash or, you know, whatever, whether it's to sell the fight, whether it's to sell yourself to get better fights, is there something that is could be said that's stepping over the line?
I mean, I always think so. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, you know, there's a couple of factors. So first of all, my kids are going to be watching what I'm saying. You know, and first and foremost, you know, my responsibility is to, you know, financially support my kids. But at the end of the day, I want them to be good people. I'm not real sure how I can justify doing things and saying things and acting a certain way, and then go look at my kids in the face and say that more of a do as I do, don't do as I say. I mean, I kind of got to lead by behavior, or lead by example, I should say. So I'm up there and I'm acting a certain way, and I know, you know, kids pick up on things, even if you don't think they do. I'm responsible for how people see me, not only my kids, everybody else in the world.
Sure.
And that's one of my biggest problems, you know, as a firefighter and as a person who goes out and sees things. We have a lot of different issues right here, and you know, people are going to pick up on what you do. I remember Charles Barkley once said, I'm not a role model. Yes, you are, Charles. A lot of people look at what you do, good or bad. So, you know, unfortunately, the way our society is, if you're on TV, a lot of people listen to what you say, and they're going to kind of mimic you, even if it's not intentional, just subconsciously. So there's definitely a line that you shouldn't cross over. I always wanted to, the other guy I was getting ready to fight, you know, hey, I might not even like some of those guys, but I'm going to let my fight really dictate a lot of what happens. You know, I'm going to promise people I'm going to put on the best fight of the night, and I'm going to put on a great fight, and you're going to love watching it. That's where I feel like, yeah, I could do that just as well as anybody in the world. I want to put on entertaining fights. You know, I don't necessarily need to go out there and tell everybody how I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you I'm going to put on a great fight, and we'll see that. But to go out there and belittle somebody and, you know, bring up a train accident, that's just that was a little over the top for me. I don't think he's going to gain any fans by saying stuff like that. So he might just be going for the person, you know, you pay to see get beat. But if that, I mean, like I said, you got people who are, and you might make some money from that. I'm not saying you won't, but are you going to be happy with yourself in 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Are you going to be able to look back at your career and your life and be happy? Are you going to be all right when you walk down a street and, you know, people drive by and spit on you? I mean, nah, doesn't sound like a great choice to me.
Sure. No, and I totally get it. And let me be real clear, and I've talked about it since it happened. I did not like the comment. I know that you know that Matt Hughes and I are very, very good friends. With that said, I necessarily didn't have the problem that everybody else had with it because he's already said a bunch of stupid stuff. You're talking stupidity. It's just another stupid thing that he said, and you can either ignore it. And that's part of our big problem in the world now anyway, is everybody's up in arms over things. It is what it is. He said it. Matt didn't seem to have a problem with it.
Like you're saying, everybody gets so offended about everything, and it's the end of the world. I'm not like that now. You know, you can say what you want to me. I'm just not going to be a fan of you. That's how you're going to be. You know what I mean? And I have no problem with that. It's okay. If that's what you need to do to try and do this, I'm not going to go that route. So, you know, you have the right to say whatever you want, and I have the right to not like you for doing it. That's fine. No problem with that. So if that's the route you want to go, that's fine.
Sure. And that's exactly what I've said about the kneeling during the NFL. You know, you have a right to do it, and I have a right to call you a douchebag. You know,
I have the right to not support a company that supports that. I have the right to not support a league that does that. You know, these are certain rights, and people say you can do what you want. Yeah, but when your pay gets cut in half, there's a cost for this. And if you're willing to stand there and do whatever, and your pay gets cut down, and you're still willing to stand for it, I have a lot more respect for you. But if you're like, I didn't think this would happen, I have a right to do it. Now, you do have a right to do it, but there's repercussions for those rights.
There's repercussions for everything we do. And let's move on before I take too much of your time. Next Friday, like I said, I didn't open the email. I didn't read it.
Yep.
Then I get an email that says the teams have been selected. I'm like, what is this? And not only do I see it, and I think it's pretty cool, but you're involved in it, and you're a team captain.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I'm going to be doing a little Quinn grappling, which I had no idea what that was until they offered me the role as a captain. So we got to come up with a team of five. We have to weigh under 950 pounds, and we do a little bit of a grappling match here. So the winner, obviously, you got 8 minutes, and the winner, if you submit somebody, you stay in. You submit the next guy, you stay in again, and then you get submitted, you go out. And so the last the team with the person at the end wins. So I've never really even paid much attention that they were doing this type of thing, but I've watched a few matches now, and you know it's a lot more strategy than I thought. Who are you going to put in against what guy? And we're taking measures to do that. We're trying to find out everybody's weaknesses and strengths, and then trying to match up our guys accordingly. Like, hey, okay, this guy just won. This is our guy. We're going to throw him in there. So, it's going to be in Anaheim, California. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I went to the event that was in Vegas. Last year, I guess it was, which I'm assuming, I'm pretty sure it's the exact same company. Did you pick the team? Did you reach out? Did they tell you this is who we – how did that go down?
No, man, they said, here's what we got. You're going to be a captain, who you want. And I just started throwing some names out there, and I decided to call a couple friends of mine and started this thing going. And then got a couple guys who I'd been buddies with for a long time, and then we grabbed a couple other guys who had more of a grappling background. And, I thought when I first did it, it was just going to be a lot of, like, old UFC guys. Not really. I don't think my team's the only team with many UFC guys on it. So, I'm more of just they're going with the straight grappling, you know, really good high level, you know, strictly grappling. And I got a lot more, you know, guys who've had professional MMA fights. I kind of like that. I think there's a different level of toughness and grittiness that high level UFC fighters bring. I'm not saying they're as good as grapplers, but I think it's going to be a little different when that just hard nosed toughness comes into play. That's what I'm counting on, at least.
And before we talk about the former UFC heavyweight champ, our good friend Rico Rodriguez, how's your ground game? How's your jiu-jitsu going to be?
Well, here's a good thing for me. I've been competing since 1998. So far, I've yet to ever be submitted in a competition. So I'm looking to keep that streak alive and see if I can get a couple submissions myself. So just wanted to be part of the team and make sure I do my part to try and bring us as close as possible to victory. You know, like I said, I have absolutely no idea a lot of these people. I'm looking them up, and I'm seeing their credentials. Oh, wow, this guy's really high-level jiu-jitsu. He's won this or that or Abadab. I'm like, man, it's just a totally different realm. I'm looking forward to getting involved with it.
We are talking to Chris Lights Out Lytle, not only a little bare-knuckle FC for next week, but the week after when he gets on the mats. Do you have any idea where you're going to put yourself you know, in the list? Are you going to go first? Are you going to go last? What are you going to do?
Well, like I said, what we're trying to do is compile as much information on everybody as possible. So that decision is going to have to be made, you know, at the moment. So if we see this guy's in there and we go, oh, we have to put an extra in there. If he matches up well against me, I'll go in. If he doesn't match up well against me, I'm going to put somebody else in. So I actually have no idea right now who's going to go where or when. So it's all going to be dictated by how the flow of the match is.
When final question for you, and as always, you know, appreciate your time. Any plans yet? When and if will you get back in the squared circle?
Not really sure right now. You know, I'm coming off of a surgery right now, so getting older, man. I keep having to have these stupid surgery things. Unfortunately, somebody told me once a long time ago, it was the smartest thing I heard him say. But they said when it comes to this sport, Father Time is undefeated. And he's kind of whooping up on me right now, so I'm trying to see if I can't do something different, you know, trying to let myself rest, but I can't rest. I just keep doing stuff and hurt myself more. So we'll see. I don't know.
Wait a second. Yeah. You mean there's surgeries when you're in a combat sport? That I would have never thought that.
Well, I'm at about number 6 right now, so we'll see if I can limit it to that. Yeah, I know I've had a lot of them. I had several knee surgeries, breast surgeries, chest surgeries, nose surgeries. There's always a surgery, you know, and I'm probably should have had a lot more, but I'm pretty stubborn. I was trying to fight through a lot of things. I don't know. I'm just really excited for this weekend coming up. We got the bare knuckle fight the next week. I got a lot going on these next 2 weekends.
But Chris, if you need a fill-in, you know, the pizza man's available.
Oh, my God. I'm turning your mic. I thought you were going to have a serious question.
Not to
for
fight,
once.
But to commentate. I mean, in case he goes down and he can't.
Okay, I turned his mic off. Before I let you go, give me a quick update, quick rundown. What fight should we make sure that we don't walk out of the room for on Saturday?
Man, I mean, geez. And that's a funny thing here, is there just a lot of different ones you really don't know. I mean, we got a heavyweight, you know, title on the line. I mean, I'm really excited, obviously, about the main event, because to me this is kind of, it seems like when we're putting on these fights, it seems like there's just a different kind of theme in most of them. Last time it was, you know, boxer versus the brawler. You know, this time I feel like you're getting more of like a, especially in the main event, you know, more experience versus just pure athleticism. So, you know, Leonard Garcia has been around forever, just tough as nails. He's just strong as can be. He saw his last fight. He won in about 40 seconds with just a hard uppercut. So this is going to be a great one. What is it going to win? Is it going to be, you know, the cagey veteran with the iron can and just extreme toughness? Or are you going to have this physical specimen beast out there, physically, you know, strong? I honestly don't know. And so those are kind of the things I like to see, these themes of different kinds of, you know, who's going to win this type of fight. Like I said, last time I said, probably the boxer will win some, probably the brawler will win some. Well, the brawler won all of them. So I'm wanting to see what the answer is going to be in this one. Really excited about what that about these fights, man. There's going to be some new ones.
I think Leonard Garcia should worry about this fight on Saturday before he worries about fighting Artem.
Absolutely. You know, especially, you know, in any combative sport, if you don't focus on the task right in front of you, it could be, yeah, don't worry about the other ones. Probably never going to happen, because these people are so high level and so good. Like I'm saying a minute ago, you're dealing with a physical phenomenon beast right now who can hit really hard. If you overlook Jimmy, he's going to knock you out. So it's going to be a pretty interesting night. I can't wait to see it. Knowing Leonard, though, you know, Leonard's always on his A game. He's a professional. He's been doing this for a long time. He's not going to look past anybody. He knows that. He may be saying these certain things, but trust me, he's taking this serious. He knows exactly what he's doing. So that's a good thing with him.
Final question for you, and I know I've probably said it 2 or 3 times already. Who's your dark horse NFL? I know you're a big NFL guy.
Well, I don't even know if I can go out there and call the dark horse right now. I got to go with my Colts. I don't know if, like I said, you consider them a dark horse right now, because the last couple of years hadn't been that great. Till last year, they really turned it on. Finally, I think watch out for the Colts for the next probably 3 seasons. This is the first time ever in Luck's career we've actually had offensive line. We got a lot of weapons right now. We have had salary cap has been great for. I mean, we just had a lot of different positive things, you know, line coming in. We got defense, stuff we've never had in many, many years. We got the front office is actually doing the right thing, and that's been the problem for a long time. I felt bad for Luck. This dude's been getting beat up for several years, taking more hits than any quarterback in the NFL, and you can only do that for so long. And, you know, look at the great, you know, Tom Brady. When I was watching him last time, he wasn't getting touched. It's right. A lot easier to be a quarterback when you're not scrambling at all times and getting hit every single play. So, giving Luck that kind of time and with the different, you know, receivers and line running backs we're getting, everybody's actually starting to believe the fact that we're going to be really good here for the next couple of seasons, and I'm agreeing with that.
We will talk about it in Biloxi on Friday. Then we'll sit and watch some great fights. BKFC Biloxi. It's free, right?
That's another beautiful thing about this is, you know, what's amazing to me is just how far they've came in about a year. I mean, look how long it. I remember talking with some people. It took the UFC many, many, many years before they sold over 100,000 pay-per-views at one time. I mean, that was unheard of to them, and I didn't even realize this until later on. But I mean, you just thought they're selling all these pay-per-views. Nah, not really. I mean, they weren't for many years. They were just, you know, I watched the thing where they were like $44 million in debt for a while, just trying to keep this thing afloat. It is unbelievable to me the BKFC has been able to do so good so fast, and just to try and, as a thank you, or try and get make sure everybody can see this sport, Dave Feldman's been able to give this for free to everybody as like an appreciation. That's never happened before. Really, either. So, if anybody wants to watch it, if anybody has never seen it before, check it out, because I promise when people watch this thing, all I ever hear after that is, well, when's the next one? When's the next one? I mean, they're going to watch it again, you know? So, you have to get a chance to check this out. Dave's giving it to everybody for free for that reason alone, I think. So, everybody can see it and go, okay, when's the next one? When's the next one? And that's the beauty of it to me. The next one isn't going to be the next week. I remember when the UFC put on about 5 or 6 a year, and there was always great anticipation. And I talked to a lot of people who miss that aspect of it, who go, man, it was so cool when you were looking forward to every fight and you knew all the fighters on there. It's like, now there's fights every weekend. I don't know who's fighting. You know a couple of the big ones. And like, okay, in September 8th or whatever, you know, there's, you know, a title fight. But there's just so many fights every weekend, you don't even pay attention to who's fighting. When you have it just, you know, a little spread out a little bit more, you get excited about every fight, and you know all the fighters, and that's what we got here. So please check it out, watch it, and then I promise you'll become a fan immediately.
Absolutely. Chris, as always, thank you very much for your time. I'll see you at the buffet on Friday.
Sounds good, buddy. Be good.
Take care. Chris, lights out. Lytle, I'll be with him bare knuckle this week, and then he goes to the grappling next week. But what just happened on Saturday? I'll tell you what happened. A victorious Mickey Gall. That's what happened. Are we talking to you on the beach? Is that where you are right now?
I'm not on the beach at the moment. I just got off the beach. It rained for a little bit.
Oh. So what's up, Mickey? Congratulations.
What's up with you? How are you? What's up, Uncle Randy?
We are all fine. It was raining here in Tampa Bay as well. Was there, and I hate the word pressure, but I don't know what any other word to use. You know, you're fighting in your backyard. The crowd's chanting your name. Was that added pressure, added excitement, added anything for you?
Yeah, probably all of the above. But the pressure's good. I feel like I performed well with the pressure. And it was definitely a lot of excitement. And I definitely fed off the noise in there. I got some good energy off the noise.
Did you spend more money buying tickets for your friends and family than you made by winning the fight?
Say it again?
I said, did you spend more money on tickets for your friends and family than you won by winning the fight? Than you made?
No, it's probably close, but no, I did not. I was smart.
I always find it funny, whether it's fighters, whether it's, you know, the NFL guys, when they go, like, to the Super Bowl, all their friends called, and, hey, can you get me a ticket? Or, you know, now you're fighting in your backyard, and people that you went to elementary school, I'm sure, called and said, hey, Mickey, do you remember me?
Yeah, I only get 4 tickets in the UFC, so I, that goes to my family. I let people know. They ask me. I'm like, hey, check UFC.com. I'm not sure exactly what they're going for.
No, exactly. You know, there's the, you know, the wrestlers. WrestleMania is coming to Tampa next year, and they've already put it out on all their Twitters. We have no tickets. Don't call us.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. People think you have unlimited tickets. 10 minutes ago, someone asked me for tickets.
Fight Saturday. Now you're laying low. When will you be back in the gym? When would you like to get back in the cage?
I'll be back in the gym Monday, and I'd like to be back in the cage November 2nd. Madison Square Garden.
Is there a possibility? Have you already started talking to Sean and Dana? And
I haven't spoken with Sean or Dana yet, but I will soon. I'm taking this week, chilling out down the shore, and then back to work.
Spoken like a true Northeasterner down by the shore, being born in Philadelphia. Sure. I like that.
Sure.
What's with this beef all of a sudden, or has it been brewing with Mike Perry?
I don't know. I guess he had some comments. So I just comment back. I don't know. We definitely should fight. Would you want to see me and Mike Perry fight? We definitely have to do that fight.
No, I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it?
No,
why, you
honestly,
like Mike or something?
Well, Mike does the show a lot. You do the show a lot. So I hate when guys that are regulars on our show. I mean, it could be a good fight. I remember I told Matt Hughes that I wouldn't even watch when he fought Frank Trigg. Now, I did watch it. But, when guys that are good to the program and good to the fans and good, But it should be a good fight, and Madison Square Garden is probably the place to have it, right?
Yeah, I would love that.
What were you thinking during the fight on Saturday night? I mean, do you block? Do you just block everything out? Can you hear them chanting your name? Do you, so honed in on what's going on, or walk us through the rounds?
Well, what I'm thinking wise, I'm trying not to think too much. I'm thinking about focusing. Just focus. Just react. Breathe. Do what you do. I definitely heard the crowd. I definitely heard that. I got energy off that. And when I would hit them and everyone would go loud, I got to do that again. I want to do it again. I want to make them pop again. That was the best. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the noise.
What is Mickey Gall today compared to Mickey Gall before your very first UFC fight? What's different about Mickey Gall?
Years, man. Years. A lot of knowledge.
And continue that. Obviously, we all can continue to learn. When a fighter or anybody thinks that they're at the top and they've learned everything, that's when they start, to not know anything at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. There's no masters of this sport. There's too much to learn. You can't. You just gotta. You know what I mean. You gotta find your. You gotta get what you can.
It's all good. Well, again, congratulations. I'm very happy for you. And please tell your family and tell your mom that we said hi.
Thanks, my brother. Will, you as well.
Talk to you soon. That is Mickey Gall, another one of the good guys. And like I've always said, this is just me. I don't like when two guys that I like, that's been good to our show, that's been good to our program, fight. I'm not telling them not to fight. Because they're not going to listen to me anyway.
Sure.
I remember I told Matt Hughes and Frank Trigg that I was going to be more upset for who lost than happy for who won.
Yeah, I mean, it happens a lot in this sport. I mean, a lot of great friends end up fighting each other.
Well, that's part of the competition.
And Masvidal and Covington are probably on a collision course at some point, and they're great friends.
Are they great friends?
They claim to be.
Are they? Well, I know that Melvin Gillard, who fights this weekend in Bare Knuckle
does.
Fought Cowboy, and they were best friends.
Sure.
So back to the Matt Hughes real quick. I remember I told him that I'd be more upset for who loses than happy for who won. And that whole thing went down, and Matt went down, and I'm thinking to myself, because, I don't show any emotion. I'm like, holy crap, Matt. And then within 30 seconds, I'm like, what just happened, Frank? it's still probably one of my favorite fights of all time.
Sure.
Just because of the emotion that changed, so quickly was crazy.
Of course.
All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon. When we come back, God knows what's going to come out of your mouth. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and StatsZone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Three vehicles, six competitions, where every athlete is in it to win it. Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, presented by official partners America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, Metro by T-Mobile, and 1-800-ASK-GARY. Get your buy three tickets, get one free savings coupon from participating Metro by T-Mobile locations. Restrictions and exclusions may apply. See savings coupon for details. Don't miss this live event that's fun for all ages. Coming to Emily Arena August 24th.
Wouldn't it be sweet to have an endless supply of Culver's fresh frozen custard? Do what we do. Pour fresh dairy into your temperature-controlled custard machine. Trust me, once you have one, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Adjust flow to produce creamy ribbons of frozen custard. And lastly, do the spoon test to ensure smooth texture. Yum.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole frozen custard made throughout the day thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Yo, this is Platinum Mike Perry. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Tour de Pizza Duke 88.
I'm checked out.
Yeah, are you watching the what do they call it? The boob tube? What do they call it in your era?
I don't know, but this is the Warriors.
The Warriors. From Brooklyn. We're doing Brooklyn pizza. Got to do the Brooklyn authentic Warriors theme song.
They head back to Coney Island and then with the three Coke bottles. They go, Warriors.
I got Coke bottle right there.
We can recreate
the Warrior scene right here.
This movie was so cool in like 1912, but now it's just awful.
What fighter would you like to see wear that get up in the octagon?
None.
They can come to this down the ramp.
Have you watched this movie at all? Do you know about it? It's a whole bunch of gangs.
Right.
So it's a big gang thing in Central Park.
Okay.
And Cyrus, which is the leader of whatever the big group is, the big gang is.
The Warriors.
Gets killed. No, Warriors are the ones that get, you know, they say that the Warriors are the ones that killed Cyrus.
Oh, okay.
And so every group is going to get moved up the ladder if they take out the Warriors.
Got it.
So they're all fighting their way back. And they finally make it back to Coney Island. And the guy who said that it was the Warriors, you know, comes after him and why'd you do it? Why'd you kill Cyrus? All this kind of stuff. Well, then the group that Cyrus was from is all there. It's like 2 million guys.
Okay.
And they're like, we didn't do it. It's so bad acting. It is so bad that it's pretty good.
Well, here's the great thing. It was back in a golden era where gangs actually used to throw insults instead of like bullets, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody died. Yeah.
No, the thing is, back then is when they threw insults and people didn't get all upset about it.
That's even better.
You know, you could have made the Matt Hughes train thing, you know, back in the 70s and nobody would have been upset about it.
Sure.
And again, let me be clear. I didn't like the comment.
Right.
But trash talking is trash talking.
That's what you do. That's what the sport was built on.
In baseball, the unwritten rule. Yes, you can hit me. Just don't hit me in the head. Then move your head.
Right.
I mean, it's silly. On and on and on and on and on.
That's
so,
true.
This weekend?
Yes.
Give me some thoughts.
Saturday, August 10th, down in the Entel Arena in Uruguay. Is that right? Uruguay?
I just love when you butcher things, but it's okay.
What do you call it?
Just go.
What do you call it? What would you call the name of the center?
I didn't say it because I didn't pull it up.
It's on Saturday. It's on ESPN Plus. Your title main event, Valentina Shevchenko versus Liz Camucci.
Or Camuch.
Camuch. The E's pronounced different in different countries.
I'm different than most. Okay. You know, I talked to some of the MMA experts over at One Buck during training camp.
You do?
They think that Liz has no shot at all.
Oh, she beat her the first time.
Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
But it wasn't a disqualification from a cut, right? They stopped the fight because of a cut, not necessarily her inflicting.
I think it's going to be a better fight than most people are anticipating.
Well, Camuch is a veteran, so I mean, it's always a dangerous fight when you have a seasoned vet in there. So
That's the guy who did it.
Cyrus.
No, that's not Cyrus. That's the guy who killed Cyrus.
Okay. And your co-main in the welterweight division, as we talked about it being a stacked division, our boy, friend of the program, Mike Platinum Perry, versus a monster in Vicente Luque, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master. I mean, he speaks three languages. He's well-versed.
That's going to help him in the octagon.
He can
because he can talk trash in different languages.
He can take from different coaches. They can say things, and Perry doesn't know what he's saying. That's a huge advantage. Or you don't think that's the advantage in martial arts in a corner?
No.
You can speak in a third language that no one can understand?
No, as long as you can block out the foreign language so you don't drift to movies.
Right. like Dan Seaver. And
it was who was fighting Dan Seaver.
But I think this is a huge fight for Mike Perry. Obviously, he beat Oliveira. He fought a very strong fight against Oliveira, but Oliveira didn't really take it to the ground. It was more of a striking fest. I think if it stays on the feet, well, Mike wins.
Hold on a second. Yeah, that might be true. It's not that he didn't take it to the ground. It's Mike Perry didn't allow it go there. So which Mike Perry shows up? Mike Perry looked good at first.
He did.
You know, and then I think, you know, he went through some issues and he had some problems and it drifted. And, you know, now is it the motivated Mike Perry?
Sure.
And that's what we talked to the champ, you know, even though Oost doesn't like to be called that.
Right.
You can't. You know, live on that. You can't live on your laurels. You have to train every day. You have to think every day, I'm going to get beat on Saturday.
Well, I don't know how intense Mike is training, but I see him with the Spartan, you know, Alex Nicholson, training and posting photos on Instagram.
I see him on the Jupiter bike.
I see him on the bike, but I think he's training hard for this, and I don't think Mike is taking this lightly. I think he's found a new surgeons.
And again, I think the UFC is getting behind him again. You know, he's the co-main event. He's not just on the card.
Sure.
He's not just being hidden in a foreign country.
And let's be honest, he's a big name on this card because there's so many names that you don't know. You know, like, so, yeah, I think he's a big
draw. Why is that? Why do you think that?
What's
you know, again, you use a lot of your homegrown talent.
Right.
You know, when you're abroad, outside the country, when you're abroad. Why is Mike Perry the co-host or the co-main event of this?
I think because of his name, because of his antics. I think with the dancing and the Oliveira fight where it got the crowd energized being, you know, not in Brazil, but being outside the U.S., I think he has an international appeal now. And he's entertaining. He's entertaining to watch. And that's what you have to do. If you have names on the card that people don't know, you have to have some entertainment to go along with the ticket price.
But I think that's part of the problem, what we talked about with Chris Lytle, the fact that, you know, fans come halfway through a card, three quarters of the way through the card. It shouldn't matter the name.
But do they outside the country? Do they do that? Like you said, in Australia, they're packed from first bell all the way through.
I vaguely remember in Rio when I went for Anderson Yoshinokami, it was pretty packed.
Yeah, I mean, I think outside the country, the UFC is a big deal. I mean, if it chooses to come to Uruguay, right? I mean, I think the whole country gets energized. It's kind of like Michael Jackson touching down in Tokyo. It just created pandemonium.
Oh, I had something, but I'm not.
What are you going to say about Michael? Don't touch Michael.
I'm not.
Leave Michael alone.
I'm not.
He didn't touch a kid. Leave him alone.
I'm not saying nothing. Go ahead. Keep on your rant. Go ahead. It's okay. I'm not touching.
Leave the king of pop alone.
Oh, he's dead, so.
Oh, you're going to Matt Hughes him and like say some inappropriate stuff now?
I don't say anything inappropriate. Right. And what did I say inappropriate about Matt Hughes? And again, there's nothing that Colby Covington said that wasn't true.
It's all true.
And again, I know it's awful. I'm going to get a text from Matt before we're off the air. I get it. And I've reached out to him and we've talked.
Yeah.
But it's not like Colby Covington said anything that's not true.
Yeah.
And here's another reason why, and it really doesn't matter, but it's not like he said that comment to Kamaru Usman, who has no ties to Matt Hughes. Right. Matt Hughes and Robbie Lawler were teammates. Right. They're friends. They talk all the time. It's, hey.
Yeah, the guilty by association.
Yeah. I don't know about guilty. I don't know.
Attacking. You know, he did it to take a shot at Robbie and Matt. Because like, they're together.
He's playing a character. He is going to make more money, Colby Covington, because people can't stand him.
Correct.
And I've always said, and I continue it to this day, Matt Hughes could have made more money than he did if people hated him.
Right, of course.
And they didn't hate Matt until towards the end of his career.
Right.
When he was the coach on The Ultimate Fighter. And they, you know, put things in on the reality show that really didn't happen in the order that they showed it. People started to dislike Matt because of it.
Right.
When he was the king, when he was the best, when he was the best welterweight of all time, and I still think he is at this point, he didn't do any of that stuff. Right. So he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because people didn't pay for the pay-per-view rooting for him to lose. Like people are going to tune in hopes that Colby Covington gets his butt kicked.
Well, I mean, there's online petitions right now for people to end Colby's life, that they're begging for Usman to end his life.
And he's taking
combat.
Him down off his...
Oh, yeah, I mean, you have to.
Which is stupid.
Because this is a sport. This is a paycheck. This is a livelihood for these guys. It's not a death sport.
What has he done other than ran his mouth?
Nothing. It's because he has the Trump hat on.
No, it's not the Trump
thing. And the flag over his shoulder, which I'm sure you have an issue with.
Like that. But well, you know, when he was there screaming at Kamaru in Vegas, as we all remember, he was behind me. And when I turned, I didn't know it was even him. I thought it was just some tool screaming at Usman. Well, it was Colby Covington. It turned out to be a great video that I'm now plastered all over because I'm...
So is Colby a bigger tool than I am?
I don't. Well, no. The guy who took the photo in the bathroom with his Buccaneer credential is the biggest tool I've ever seen in my life, and you come in a close second.
Perfect.
So it definitely works out well. Mm-hmm. Do you want to look ahead to next Saturday? You want to talk about that for a second? Daniel Cormier, your boy Stipe?
I mean, I think there's more fights in Uruguay. I don't want to overlook this card. I mean, you know, you have the
I was trying to save you from butchering every person's name.
Who cares what a name pronounced like? The guy,
they do.
Volkan, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't even understand what I'm saying. He doesn't know. He doesn't even have a visa. He can't even come over
here. I have to be honest with you. They don't care.
Well, the fight last week was supposed to be in Newark, but there was a visa issue, so this fight got postponed to Uruguay. They're never going to come here. They can't come find me.
In truth, they don't care. Jorge Diaz used to play for the Buccaneers. They used to call him George Diaz. The Buccaneers called him George Diaz.
Yeah.
So we're playing golf one time, and I made a comment to him, and I said, so which is it? Is it George or Jorge? He goes, well, it's Jorge, but who really cares? I said, well, if it's Jorge, watch. And within like 2 weeks, they started to call him Jorge.
Well, I called your boy George the wrong Jorge up in Cincinnati, Goodell.
How about Din Thomas?
Din. I mean, they're so hard.
Of course, his name's Dean. But...
When you have Z's and R's and D's in your name.
But that's common.
Get what you want. Get a nickname. There's no nickname listed.
I thought you said only one nickname per person.
Well, call him the Volkswagen. Well, he's fighting Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah. Now you see what I was talking about.
See. But, yeah, so I think it's a great fight, though. I mean, at the 205 light heavyweight, I mean, now that Santos is out, his knee's being reconstructed, I mean, who else is a contender at the 205 mark? So I think this is an important fight, and I think it's going to be one you definitely got to keep your eye on.
I think they wait until Santos is ready, and that's probably the rematch.
No. You think Jones is going to wait for the knee to be reconstructed?
Why, how long do you think that's going to take?
A year, at least.
I don't know about a year.
He tore everything. Meniscus, like ACL, MCL.
He's a fast healer.
IBM.
The water is special in Brazil. He'll be ready in 7 months.
And then speaking of Brazil, you got Rodolfo Vieira. You never bet against a Vieira, right?
Well, my trainer is a Vieira.
I know. 5-0, fighting Oscar Pachuca.
Try and read down the rest of the names you're going to butcher.
I can't. They're too
That's
hard.
That's why I tried to move it to next week. They're I tried too, to save you.
What do you want me to do? I don't know how to pronounce Colmier either.
All right. Give me, Friday?
Friday.
The Bucks play Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Week one, preseason.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you to predict who's going to win because,
I'm not gonna
honestly, who cares? It's
preseason.
It's preseason
practice.
Game number one.
Talking about practice?
Okay, go on with your rant.
No, it's like Allen Iverson.
Your Iverson rant.
Your Philly boy.
Yeah.
Your hometown hero.
How many plays does Winston play on Friday?
Ugh.
That's the question. That's what we're going to throw out on the Twitter machine, on the Book of Face. Go ahead and post it, and whoever is closest to it will win an 8-man strong swag bag.
Oh, nice.
So whoever gets it right, your job, because I'll be in Biloxi.
Can I play?
And they don't have TVs in Biloxi. you need to watch the game and you need to write down how they do not.
Do you need a passport to get there?
Yes, you do. That's a Chael Sonnen. This has been Knockout Radio brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Want to thank all of our guests, of course, including Alex Nicholson, Kamaru Usman, Chris Lytle, and Mickey Gall. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Mickey Pizza Man 1.
See everybody next week. BKFC this week.
So let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game? Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.